Another spring practice in the books. Let's break it down.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
All right, let's have some fun. We're talking practice. I think this was spring practice number nine or number 10. Regardless, we got two windows this week. We had one on Tuesday. We went live after that. Had another one today. And obviously, here we are going live talking practice. I want to clear something up before we get started. So I think yesterday or Tuesday, I mentioned that they had put up some signage or something like that, and we were only limited to the end zone area in the on the outdoor practice facility. Well, I was incorrect. That was a misread and bad information on my part. And I guess I limited myself on Tuesday. We had full access to go all the way around the field today. And I guess it's been that way the whole time. So today I made it a point. Okay, you fooled yourself into thinking you can't go watch them. Let's go watch them. So I watched a lot of DBs today. So if you got DB questions, I got DB answers today in the safety room and the defensive back room. But, yeah, it was a great day, beautiful weather, awesome time, big crowd today. They had a lot of – I don't know if it was donors, if it was those VIP deals or what, but there was a ton of people at practice today, from coaches to just fans, donors, all that good stuff. Saw Reese Dismukes again. He's been here for a couple days now, so good to see him. Saw Derek Brown came to practice today, so continuing the theme of former players stopping by, saying hello, speaking to the team. How good is it to have Derek Brown speaking to the team? That's good stuff. So I want to jump in. I'm going to start on the defensive side. Again, I focused on the defensive side. Zach was watching offense. I took a couple of peeks, though. Don't worry about it. I peeked over there at the offense a few times. But right off the bat, Chris Murray's got a number. I think he's going to be number 30. Now, if that's final, I don't know, but it makes sense. He was 3 last year. Let's just put a 0 on the end. So number 30, he's again practicing full speed with the pass rushers. So really good stuff there. So again, I focused a ton on defensive backs today. All right. And I wanted to make sure I could check out, like, the rotations, like what kind of drills they were doing, all that good stuff. And it was not necessarily consistent as far as who was going first, second, and third with the corners. The only thing you could tell, like, with 100% certain, that Gavin Jenkins, Andre Jordan, Blake Woodby, and Rashawn Pleasant are head and shoulders at the top of the group. So that is a really, really solid four-man group right there as far as corners go. And they all looked apart. They're, you know, at the top of the line, getting a lot of praise. They were, just to give you an example, they were doing a drill where it was clearly like they were doing zone drops. Okay, so like you got one corner, you got two receivers. The coach gives the receiver, both of the receivers, a different route, and then the DB had to drop, and then based off of the trigger from the routes they ran will depend on what area you necessarily drop to. So it's not just like we're dropping 15 yards and playing that zone. Like, there's specific places you have to be, and there's specific triggers you have to be watching as far as when the way they run their routes. And one thing that this is like so rare when you're watching football practice. It's rare that you hear like so many good jobs. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times you're hearing people getting ripped apart. You're, oh, you got to redo it. Get back on the line. Do it again. Do it again. They are just really, really praising this corner group, man. They're really, really, as far as like that little bitty window that we got to see, they were they were phenomenal. Make sure you get your questions in. I'll try to get to those at the end as I go through DBs and offense. So those four, really, really good. Really, really good. I think we're going to be happy with those four guys. This is so insignificant. Could mean nothing, could mean everything. But for whatever reason, Shamar Arnaud, I think, was wearing number 66 today. So I don't know if his number 14 jersey got ripped or whatever, or if that's like, you know, a you have to earn your number type thing. I don't know. He was wearing number 66, even had his name on the back, if I'm not mistaken. So take that. That may mean nothing. It may mean everything. Again, I watched safeties and I watched corners, and I've been calling it a dat dude award. But like the most, when you just look across all of our defensive backs, there's nobody that's more physically impressive than I guess it would be Shadrick Tootle Jr., the older Tootle. He's playing safety right now. He's not necessarily going through drills as like the number one guy, but when you just look at him across the board, like he's got to be 6'4". Like he's 6'3 or 6'4", super long, well over 200 pounds. I guess I say all that to say that even in that safety room, there is a bunch of guys that I think can play at this level. So, again, Shadrick Tootle looks phenomenal from a physicality standpoint. I know he had an interception a couple of practices ago, but that's just, again, I feel like that safety room is so deep. There's a lot of really, really good players today. Coincidentally, the best-looking linebacker is his little brother. He is a couple inches taller than everybody, super physical, looks really big. He's good looking too. So both of the Tootles, great genes there. So shout out to dad. Shout out to senior. He's got very, very impressive looking sons out there. One big note that I found interesting. It's actually two notes. So I was talking to someone on the sideline on staff, and they feel like Anquan Fagans and Sylvester Smith are both, quote unquote, interchangeable at safety and nickel. Okay. So Sylvester Smith is your number one guy at nickel, and he works with the safeties primarily when they do their position groups. He's working there, and so is Fagans, but those two guys are interchangeable. And I think what you're trying to do there is, I think what you're saying, what that tells me is Anquan Fagans is too good to keep off the field. We got to have him cross training at multiple positions, because I think later on, I'll tell you, it feels like Caleb Harris is sort of starting to creep back up into being the guy at safety. And then the other guys, it really feels like it's Eric Winters. So how do you get Fagans on the field? Well, you got to give him multiple positions. So there was one point in the drills where Fagans left the safeties and was going and doing corner work. So that, to me, just signified even deeper that, you know, spoke to the whole interchangeable part. So that could be something to watch out for. Could be something to watch out for, too, is like Fagans could even maybe play some true corner. Who knows? He did in high school. He went to the corner group. I thought that was really interesting. I kind of hinted at it just a second ago. Caleb Harris feels like he is sort of, I don't want to say been awakened, because that would imply that he's been asleep. But it just feels like he's starting to kind of take that room over. Like he leads literally everything. He led literally every drill. Everybody seemed to be kind of looking at him to be – kind of looked at him to being the guy in that room. And that's what we need. We need freshman Caleb Harris back. We need that season again. We need to put that season in a junior body, because he was phenomenal his freshman year. Wasn't terrible last year, but a liability a few times in coverage. So good to see him sort of taking charge and kind of taking back over that room. Goalish again. I'm going places and he's beating me there. There was a period of time, like when they're doing this drill, they were doing an interception drill. It's like backpedal, put your foot in the ground, and then intercept the ball. And you hear, all of a sudden, I hear, squeeze it, squeeze it. And I look up and it's Goalish just yelling at the top of his lungs, locked in on that DB group, like, hey, pick it off, squeeze it. And then all the other coaches chime in, squeeze it, squeeze it. So that was really fun. And then, you know, you look and he's everywhere else too. Like he's over with the quarterbacks, he's over here, but he makes it a point, it feels like, to lay eyes on every single position group. But that was pretty funny. I peeked over at the quarterbacks a little bit, and I'm going to go through Zach's notes in regards to the offense. But I peeked over towards the end of our viewing window, and boy, man, Tia throws such a pretty ball. Like, Tia has the most flawless mechanics. The ball spins absolutely perfect. And I'll give kudos to all the guys. Like, against air, they do a drill where, like, you have three wide receivers running a different route, and then all three quarterbacks throw a pass. And then, like, the quarterbacks will go from, like, outside left quarterback to the middle quarterback to the far right quarterback. Like, it's like a conveyor belt. But the receivers are running three routes, and they're throwing three passes. And this just goes back to rep, 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 rep. And then whenever they're working one side of the field, the same quarterback will sit in there and run like four or five rapid fire routes, like different routes, boom, boom, boom. It's just constant. Then they'll go to the other side of the field and do that. Just so much work in such a short amount of time, they get a ton in. So I'm going to peer back through my notes really quick. I think I nailed everything as far as corners and safeties. Didn't watch the linebackers much. Like, that room's just so good and it's so chalk. Like, there's not a ton to talk about there. We talked about Chris Murray and his new number, Caleb Harris stepping up, the zone drop and the triggers, all that good stuff. Oh, yeah, it felt like they were really coaching Arno hard in that particular zone drop drill. It's like maybe he didn't quite grasp it as quick as some of the other guys did. So they were really focusing on having him redo a couple of routes and or a couple of reps and really, really like locking in to getting him up to speed. They really need him to be good. He's so long, man. He is a very, very good looking defensive back. And obviously you spent a bunch of money on him. So you want to see him perform and perform well. But again, if he's not there, they're just not going to play him. Like they're not going to make a stretch just because, you know, they paid a lot of money to get him. So let's go over to offensive side and then I'll hit some questions. So on the offensive side, no change as far as the order in which quarterbacks go. And Zach even made mention and kind of echoes what I said earlier. Like, it's pretty clear now Tia's your number two. Like, it's kind of beyond a competition. He is definitely the number two. The running back rotation looks the same. You still got Cobb and then Mabson going second and then Washington going towards the end. But, like, when they do the drills, I just don't know that it matters that much because it doesn't really reflect when they go into a team period, okay? Offensive line, similar order, okay? They at the time when we were there, they didn't line up as a starting group, but when they go through the drills, it's still the same guys, okay? You had Simmons, Plaz, Best, Skinner, and Zaire. That's your five, and I think that was the same five, you know, when they're talking about scrimmage and things like that. So they were spending a ton of time working on pulling, you know, pulling guards and then down blocking. And coaches were really honing in on angles of attack, like really making sure when you're pulling, you're not pulling too deep, you're pulling on the right line and you're pulling on the right angle which means everything because, you know, every false step, every wrong step on the offensive line matters. Like every bad step is magnified, particularly in the SEC. If you take a bad step, it's just that much quicker for, you know, or that much longer for you to get on that defender, you know, and create that space. So here he says, watching quarterbacks throw to the skill guys. Singleton is so smooth. Everything seems to be simple and fluid with him. Release, route, catch. He's really polished. I could not agree with that more. His steps, there's no wasted steps. You know how sometimes wide receivers, you've seen them, I guess when I call it like breaking it down. Like when they start patting it down, like they start patting it down to make a break, sometimes it feels like maybe those there's too many of those steps and maybe a couple of them are wasted before they get into a break. There's none of that with Singleton. It's we're cutting on dimes and there's just no wasted motion. So he feels like a polished SEC wide receiver, and I'll you know tell you a little bit more about him a little bit later. I can't stop watching Brian Williams Jr. He does all the right stuff every time I see him. He's so massive. He's also hard to miss. Brian Williams Jr. is making a name for himself. Don't know how much he's going to play this year, but he's going to be a factor sooner rather than later. And I agree with Zach. Like, he's the tallest wide receiver we have as a true freshman. Him and Koger are pretty close. But I think the best word to describe him is smooth. I think nobody would argue that. He's so smooth. So really, really good late addition there. He continues to impress. Feels like Echols has a problem right now with the drops. And sometimes that goes in phases. But I think that made – I mean, I saw him making him do push-ups a couple of times. And I don't necessarily know that that affects anything. You could really see Golish kind of talking about what he's doing wrong to other coaches. So it's like, hey, he's doing – it looks like he's doing this, this, and this. Well, right, let's get that coached up. So he's still really young, still got a lot of work to do, but they – I mean, South Florida guy, they don't let him slide. Like, they hold him accountable just like they hold everybody else. It says, Koger's often lined up on the side away from us. That would be your left side, okay? But he's another wide receiver that continues to do the right thing every single rep. So typically, the wide receiver to the farthest edge on the right of the quarterback is Singleton, and Koger is literally on the opposite side of the field to the left. And that's pretty consistent. You know, Hurdy caught a big touchdown in the scrimmage. He just looks good. Everything he does looks good. He said, Zach said this, and I said this Tuesday. He said he's gaining more steam on the artist boarding him train. I think he has a role. Remember Tuesday, I said the same thing. I said he's gone from the outdoor, I mean, to the indoor to the outdoor. And I just got this weird feeling. I got this sneaky feeling, and maybe even with, you know, Echols having some drops, that it feels like he could be, you know, a sneaky impact player at tight end. So really, really good stuff there. And then I think one of the big notes is Deshaun Spencer getting a lot more reps, like with some of those starting groups. Doesn't look like a freshman. Zach says, I think he's legit battling for a role in the offense year one. And I think I agree with that. I really do. I think he could carve out a niche year one. Not saying like he could be anywhere near like a 1,000-yard receiver, but, you know, he could easily hit that, you know, 200-yard mark maybe, 200 to 300-yard mark, you know, somewhere in the double-digit catches range. Like, he's carving out a role, okay? Now, because it was such a big scrimmage today from an attendance standpoint, talked to some folks that got to stay around for a little bit later, okay, and got to see some of the scrimmage stuff. And I don't know if this is common, but they let them go, I think, thud, I think is what they call it. Like, it's more of a true boom, like tackle, not a tackle and take to the ground, but like you got to get a good hit on before they blow it dead. And they were running a lot of the read stuff with Byron Brown and even letting him kind of get into the, you know, physical piece of it a little bit. And he is just such an incredible run threat. And the read option game is so dynamic when you have a runner like him. It's going to make everything open. That was the quote. Was like, it feels like that when you run that in a game, it's going to open up so much. And they kind of allowed a little bit more today than maybe normal. I don't know. That may be a typical, you know, Thursday practice right now. But look, from, you know, the people I talk to, maybe they let them be a little bit more physical than normal. Yeah, I'm watching the Masters in the background. So I think I'm doing a pretty good job, though. I just watched Bryson leave one in the bunker on 11, and you guys didn't know that. Yeah, so a little bit more physical scrimmage. Let's let a little bit more stuff go. I think the offense had success at times. I think Brown hit Keyshawn Singleton on an explosive play where Keyshawn made a really pretty move on the defender. Don't exactly know who the defender was. Hit him in stride. Probably would have been a touchdown. I think, like, they blew the whistle and the safety was coming over the top, but I think it was full speed. He probably would have scored. There were two interceptions thrown. I don't know who picked them off, but I know Brown threw one and Tia threw one. And it was one of those – I think both of them were just one of those things where DJ had something dialed up that kind of got him a little bit confused. One of the notes said that every single – it feels like every single throw that Byron makes is on the money. Accuracy is, like, uncanny. Is what he said. He's like, it's unbelievable. Like, every single thing is just, like, in stride. Like, even when you throw a little slant, like, it's not behind him, above him. Like, it's in perfect catch and run, you know, the catch and run spot on, like, quick screens and things like that behind the line of scrimmage. Sometimes those almost solely depend on where the ball is. Like, ball placement is, like, almost 90% of the play. If you throw a little swing pass behind somebody and it takes them four or five steps to gather them, you know, gather themselves before they can get upfield, you know, who knows? You may have a loss on the play, or, you know, could have a fumble or an incompletion or whatever. He just said everything feels like it's just dead on the money. Even with the funky release that people want to talk about, everything looks phenomenal. From Bar and Booster, any special teams news? I'm actually concerned there, except about Alex McPherson. Alex is unreal, so I'm with you. I don't care. I have no concerns over him. Everybody's raving over John McGuire. In practice, both of those guys look phenomenal, but when they've gone to the scrimmage stuff, like actual situational stuff, McGuire is having a really, really good spring. So you got a really good punter competition going there. So that's really good stuff. That's pretty much all I have for today. It was a very short window. Very grateful for that window, though. Saw a lot of cool stuff. Again, I focused on defense. Zach focused on offense. I'm going to kind of scroll through and see if I have some good questions. AU Dirty Bird says, who's more violent between DBs and wide receivers during hitting drills? Believe it or not, man, the wide receivers are freaking physical. Keyshawn Singleton will run your tail over. Jeremiah Koger will run your tail over. Those wide receivers, man, they will put their head down. It's not no prima donna stuff. It's a bunch of lunch pail, blue collar wide receiver work. So if I had to guess, and DBs are normally — and when I say DBs, I'm talking specifically at corner, okay? Now, there's some safeties that are pretty dang physical that'll knock your head off. So, but if I got to go wide receiver versus corners, I'm taking that wide receiver room, I think. They get after it. Can we get a waiver for Derrick Brown? Man, that would be sick, wouldn't it? He's actually pretty good. Are we getting closer to the 8 offensive linemen that AG wanted to get to by the end of spring? I'm trying to think of the best way to answer this. I think we're there. Yeah, I think we're there. Stanton has not been, like, super visible that much. Okay. And today I saw him working some on the indoor. I think he's getting better. But if we got to go eight wide receivers, so, I mean, eight wide offensive linemen, so you got a five and then three reserves, I think you're there. I think you got eight guys that could play. I really do. I think you got the five that we always talk about, you know, Ty Buster currently. You got Ty Buster, Derek Plaz, Cole Bess, Cole Skinner, and you got Joe Simmons, all right? And then, oh, and then you got yeah, I already said Joe Simmons. Okay, well, then you throw in Wilson Zaire now. So there's six. You got Stanton Rammel. That's seven. You got Jack Layer. That's eight. You got Cale Ellis. That's nine. Yeah, I think you got eight guys. I think you got – I really, really do. Now, how many true, like, every down SEC tackles do you have? Maybe three. You got a lot of guys on that interior that I think could play at an SEC level. Just my opinion. Let's see here. Let's keep going. I see somebody joking about being demoted to 66. I don't know that that's what that means. Talking about Shamar Arnaud. Surely that's not what that means. Like, surely that's not like, hey, you've had such a, you know, and I don't even know this if this is the case, but like, hey, it's you've had a rough spring, so now you got to wear 60. I don't think that's the case. Like, maybe his jersey ripped. The only thing is, like, it did have – I feel like it had his name on the back, which seems premeditated. I don't know. Any update on Will Mensel? I talked about it on my show this morning. He's visiting Oregon next Thursday. Oregon's got another guy they're looking at, but I think Will may still be their number one. So it next week, we probably will have a pretty good idea of how this thing's going to play out. Because I think he wants to, end this thing pretty quick. Anybody stand out on the wide receiver versus DB drill on either side? We didn't get to see wide receiver versus DB drill. When I said wide receivers, when they were doing the zone drops, it was other DBs. Like, so it would be one corner and then two DBs lined up as wide receiver running the route. So, like, I did not get to see a lot of one-on-one today, but it did sound like Keyshawn Singleton had a good day. No, I haven't seen any kickoff or punt simulations. Absolutely nothing. Floppy Toppy says, I think we're going to regret not snagging Israel Abrams. I talked to some folks and heard some other things today about him, and I think that could not be further from the truth. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but from a holistic quarterback perspective, I think he's way behind. So we'll see if we're right or not wrong there. But I don't think we're regretting anything. Even if we don't get Will Mensel, I don't know that he's going to be a big factor in college football, but we'll see. Let's see. Somebody says, now due to Hod. I think we're feeling good. I know it's basketball. I think you're feeling way better day by day. So we'll see there. I saw where Jovich committed to UCLA. That's kind of, I mean, that whole deal just blows me away. Like, I really thought he was for sure coming back, and you probably had a chance to even keep him, even though he was saying he was going into the portal. So best of luck to him. So our wide receivers are going to run over Jay Crawford in Oxford. Man, I hope so. I hope so. I hope they make him feel it. Looks like that's it. Another fun day watching practice, another fun day talking to you guys. I appreciate all the interaction, all the activity, all the questions. Good stuff, guys. Next week's A-Day. Maybe we'll get one more period before A-Day. I know A-Day's closed to the public. Not closed to the public, closed to TV. So you got to be public to see it. So going to try to chart it as best I can in person so that I can go play by play with formations and everything and break it down like drive by drive, and and go live after I see Aubinator. I'll go live at some point after A-Day for sure. So, guys, really appreciate it. We'll talk again soon. Y'all take it easy, and we'll try to do this thing again next week. Spring's winding down. What are we going to do for the rest of the 4 or 5 months before football season starts? This has been so much fun. Y'all take it easy, War Eagle.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.